Good morning, everyone. It's like waiting for a bus to arrive, isn't it? Welcome to our service at the Vines at Woodcroft this morning, and to those of you who are watching online or watching later in the week, welcome to you as well. It's no secret, at least amongst the people who are involved in playing and singing and so on, that I kind of like the Psalms. Which is why I mention them fairly often. Psalm 103 begins, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." And it ends, "Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul." That's verse 22 and 21. And between verse 1 and verse 22, there's a whole lot of things about God and about our relationship with God and the things that God has done. So if you want something to do this afternoon or sometime in the next week, have a read of Psalm 103, because it covers our salvation, God's blessing, God's forgiveness, God's healing, God's redemption, and so on. But what we'd like to do this morning is teach you a song based on the first and the last verses of that psalm. So just stay seated. It's just really one verse that repeats, but in different ways. We're going to sing the same part twice, and then it'll change. I'll get you to stand when we get to the second time through.
Praise the Lord, everything God has created. As for me, I too will praise the Lord. I will praise God's holy name. With my whole heart, I will praise God's holy name.
Please stand and give it a try. You're allowed to sing.
Praise the Lord, everything God has created.
Lord God, we praise you that we can meet together in the way that we do and sing praises to you. And Lord, may we be a people who don't just praise you on Sunday mornings, but find ways to praise you every day of the week. Lord, in challenging times, it's not that easy to do. But Lord, help us to find things for which we can be thankful and for which we can give you praise. Lord, guide our morning. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Renew us, refresh us, teach us, heal, make whole. Fill our morning, Lord, we pray, with your presence such that we might continue to praise you throughout the entire day. We praise you and give you honor and glory and thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we are.
Before you sit down, I invite you to turn to those around you and greet them with a wave, an elbow, a pump, whatever you're comfortable with. If you're visiting us for the first time, welcome along. If you're online visiting for the first time, great to have you join us today. And, well, look, talking of birthdays... Okay, put your hand up if you know someone who's having a birthday today.
Karen.
Who else is having a birthday?
Rob,
yes, thank you. So
zero birthdays.
So the combined tally of 100... No, congratulations to you both. And anybody else who's having a birthday, wishing they had a birthday, or wanting to forget they had a birthday. So look, one of the things we normally do is we have the kids come and join us as well. So if you would like to join us down the front, children, please come. Today I'm talking about vision. Now, vision has to do with our ears. Our nose. No, our toes.
No, it's eyes.
Eyes. Okay, vision has to do with eyes. Whew, that's just changed my whole topic, Sam. What am I going to do now? Oh, all right. Okay, so so we're doing eyes. Some things help us see, like this. All right, so what have I got here? Glasses, yes. So why would I use those? When do I use these things? When I'm eating food, I'm singing, why do I need glasses?
If you have a problem with your eye.
If I have a problem with my eyes, they help me see, yes. Good job. Now, what about this one? These are my Father's Day glasses. That's why they're still in the package. Otherwise, they wouldn't be. All right, what are these? I need some. Rob? No. Okay, what do I use these for?
If the sun's bright.
Yeah, so shine it. Come on, Dave.
If you're like outside and like the sun.
If I'm outside, I'm trying to stop the sun coming in my eyes. And I better put this back. I would hate to step on my Father's Day glasses. Trying to look good might be another option. What do you think? Do you have glasses? No. So, all right. So some things help us see. Glasses help us see. So I'm going to throw this a little bit to the left here. How does prayer help us see? Okay, we're looking at sunglasses, we're looking at glasses, they help us see. But how does prayer help us see things? That's an interesting question. Interesting thought. How does prayer help us see things? Any suggestions? What sort of stuff does prayer help us see? Yeah, Jesus, I'll accept that answer from the floor. Yes. So how does praying to Jesus help us see things differently? Tick, 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 tick. Insight. Kristen's got a bit of work to do today, buddy. Sorry. One of the interesting things is when we pray, what happens is God helps us see things differently. So many people in the world just say, I'm the most important person in the world. All that matters is me. When we begin to open our lives to God, God says, hey, you know what? Other people are important. And that changes how we see the world. All right, I think I've probably bamboozled you and impressed you enough that I'm going to pray for you and hope that Kristen sorts out. Good. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come into our lives to change the way we see the world. I just pray that each one of us, whether young or old, may continue to have our eyes of faith opened so we can see how much you love others and how much we are invited to love them too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your wonderful attention. We've got Scott's got some wonderful things he's doing with the other kids out the back. So time to jump up and go. I got a few notices too. We don't normally sing happy birthday. I probably don't want to start that as a tradition. So we'll just recognize birthdays have already been said. Now, Grant, can I have a wave, please? Grant up the back. Everybody look up the back, please. Now, I'm thinking that if there's any disputes in your family or in life, he would be a good guy to see. You know why? Because this year he was voted the Basketball Association's best umpire. And Christian basketball, that is. And we know that umpires are in the midst of it. And with grand finals being on, they really do a wonderful job. Right? It's very impressive. Any words, Grant, you'd like to share? Thank you, brother. Good job.
I've heard he's a whistleblower.
Samaritan's Purse is a wonderful organization that we've been supporting with the shoeboxes. So this week is supposed to be the last day you bring your shoebox in. But next week we're going to be doing a big thank you and sending off. So I imagine if there's any late boxes coming in next week, that'd be acceptable? Yes. Good. Yeah, I got you. Thanks, Winnie. Good. And all right. Any other notices I need to announce that I haven't? All right, well, over to you, Davidon.
You won't be able to sing this next song sitting down. Well, you can if you want to. Digby is. Now, Digby and I need to make sure we have our capos both in the same position, otherwise something's going to go seriously wrong.
Number three.
Okay, ready? One, two, please stand. One, two.
You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain, who ascended to heaven and evermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With the wisdom and mercy and justice you reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who slain for the world, ruling power. And the earth will reply, You shall reign. And the King of all kings and the Lord of There's a shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirit that cannot be denied. But the Father has told us, for these you have died. For the nations who gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified. Who descended to hell and was raised up to reign at his Father's side.
Amen. Please take your seats. Georgette. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
The reading this morning comes from John 15, verses 4 to 11. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. David's theme today is, without a vision, the people perish. And when I was thinking about songs for today, I couldn't go past the great old hymn, Be Thou My Vision, which we're going to sing. And whatever vision we have as part of this congregation, as part of the church, our greater vision must be Jesus. And our vision of who we are can only come out of our vision, our relationship with Jesus. This is our offering hymn. So as I said last week, this is another time to offer ourselves as we sing this song. Praise you that you are a giving God, that you've given to us all that we have, you've given to us all that we need. And Lord, we bring back to you these offerings this morning that Adrian is holding, the offerings that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that you would help us to use what we have with wisdom and with the vision in mind of what you are calling us to do and to be. We praise you and we thank you, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning, all. As we bring our prayers of intercessions before our God, we acknowledge and thank him for the many blessings we've received. We know he will always listen to us if we put our lives in his hands. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it's said we don't know what we can survive until we have no choice but to survive. We pray as our vaccination numbers increase that we might be able to look forward to less restrictions and brighter days. And yet it's not a matter of what we can't do, but rather what we can do. We live in changed and uncertain times. Help us to stay strong, uniting for the good of all. We especially pray for the people of New South Wales and Victoria as they struggle to find a way out of their worsening situation. Lord, we do feel helpless in the face of the humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan, where violence is once more the normal way of life. Imagine if we here in Australia were faced with the same situation. 20 years of progress overturned almost overnight. We pray for the displaced refugees, and particularly for those who have not been able to be evacuated. Their future is now full of uncertainty and fear. We ask your blessing on all frontline workers, many with different faces to those we've been used to seeing, but all who are still working tirelessly and at great risk to their own safety. Send them strength and inspiration to keep going. Nature too doesn't take a break from COVID, war or pestilence, as natural disasters continue around the world. We pray that our own country will remain free from severe fires as the weather warms and small outbreaks already have begun to occur. Is it any wonder we feel mentally drained and sometimes overwhelmed by circumstances, especially if we are separated from family for long periods of time? Dear Lord, we bring before you those who are suffering mentally or physically during whatever family upheaval might be troubling them. We pray for those who may have lost loved ones and are not able to attend their funerals due to COVID restrictions, for the homeless and for the unemployed. Let's pause a few moments now to remember those closest to our hearts. Surround them with your love, Lord, and remind us to keep our faith and trust in you. We pray for all leaders here and across the world. Open their eyes that they might see that all that this world is meant to be. More than ever, we need them to work together for the best outcome, putting aside their political agendas and working with empathy in a common cause. We ask your blessing, Lord, on our church here at the Vines. We are grateful we can still come together to support each other and play our parts as we look forward to an eventual path out of our present normal. We ask for your encouragement and blessing on our Minister David and all our leaders and volunteers who keep giving so unselfishly of their time and effort. Dear God, make us deserving of your love and grace. Bless us and breathe new life into us for the road ahead. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, as we continue our time together, we ask that we might see with eyes of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you know, we've been working through our values, and today we're looking at vision. And it's one of those tricky things, vision. What are we talking about? So here's a picture of the church. Our vision, question mark. Now, last week, the last 5 weeks, we've been picking up the theme of our vision to be a vibrant, growing community of faith. Our mission, to reach out and reflect God's love, connecting others to Christ. We've had preachers come in. We've reflected on the preaching themes of the centrality of Christ, Bible-centered teaching, active prayer, authentic worship, developing people, a warm and caring community. And last week particularly, we had the picture of the iceberg. Now, what we were talking about is, and this is always a bit of a shift because you've got it working both ways, from the top on the left and the bottom upwards. But the iceberg, we see the actions, and the actions are a result of the values and the beliefs that we have. So in other words, what we believe shapes our values shapes our action. Now that's a really significant thing to remember, because it's where the more we actually understand and embrace our values, the more we're able to actually just make decisions without having to think about the moral dilemmas we might be faced with. I used the illustration last week of, you know, seeing someone drop a whole wad of money. Now, again, some people might think, oh, I could do with that, stick it in my pocket. But if you have values that say, well, actually, this is someone else's, then you actually engage with that person and say, hey, you've dropped something. And it's something you do without even thinking. And I think that's one of the challenges, isn't it? To know what our values are, to live them out consistently. As we're thinking about vision quotes, I went through, and there's lots of quotes online. I'm going to show you two slides, one at a time. The first one comes from Michelangelo. And his great quote about vision is, the danger for most of us is not that we aim too high and miss it, but that we aim too low and hit it. And, you know, when you think of Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel, the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, the sculpture David, I mean, he was just brilliant. Between him and Da Vinci, they had just thousands of inventions and creative, brilliant stuff. And so I guess for him, he was saying that even someone as brilliant as him, the invitation to step beyond what he thought they were able was really important. The other quote, the next one I like is, the only thing worse than being blind is being able to see but have no vision. Now, Helen Keller, for those who don't know, she wasn't born deaf or blind, but at the age of 19 months, they think probably scarlet fever, something like that. And so after 2 days, she couldn't see and she couldn't hear at 19 months old. And this didn't stop Helen Keller, because she's actually well known. With the help of her beloved teacher and friend, Anne Sullivan, she learned how to read, speak, write. She was highly determined and intelligent, and she became the first blind person and deaf person in history to graduate college. And she didn't stop there. She was a social activist, a writer, influencing social and political interests in her day. And then years later, she traveled the world, meeting and trying to politically stir change for those who are disabled. So, yeah, amazing. There are a couple of people who have just done some sensational things. However, our theme today is, without vision, people perish. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word translated perish, or cast off restraint, in the original means to loosen, to just let go. And there's in Exodus, it's the same sort of terminology that's used when Moses comes down after having the Ten Commandments, comes down the hill, and sees the people running amok. They've just gone wild. They've melted all their gold down. They've made these gold calves. They've just lost the plot. They've lost their vision about what they are. They're running loose. So part of the reference here is that the people perish. It's almost like they just lose their sense of perspective, what they're about, and they just run wild. That's part of that meaning. So, Proverbs 29:18, I think in many ways has a lot to answer for. You know, that where there is no vision, people perish. I'm not sure if you've read leadership books, but it's the mantra that most people quote about why leadership is so significant and important. Without leadership, you know, people perish. And John Maxwell, who's written hundreds of books, well, crap load. His great mantra is, everything rises and falls on leadership. So that's interesting, isn't it? You know, I think, are you all looking at me to be the guru? Pressure, instant pressure, I'm starting to shrink. But it's interesting, isn't it, that leadership, we talk about leadership all the time. And we talk about the responsibility of the leaders to come up with the vision. And I guess in some environments, you can look at CEOs and you can look at different companies that have had a clear vision. And I guess they've just managed to achieve so much greatness because of this vision. I'm not denying vision. I think vision is really important. And some other quotes are, we're limited not by our abilities, but by our vision. Vision, it's really important. What does it look like in your life? Do we need our personal vision? Do we need our collective corporate vision as a church? What is your vision for life? What is our vision for life? Fascinating stuff. Sometimes I think we miss the point. Because whose vision are we really following? Like, I can come up with a great vision, but, you know, what's the motivation for that vision? Where's that vision come from? What is the groundwork that is required, that's based upon? Whose vision are we following? Where does vision come from? There's one quote from Warren Bennis. He says that, vision animates, inspires, transforms purpose into action. Sounds rather impressive, doesn't it? Vision animates, inspires, and transforms purpose into action. So in other words, to have vision means that we won't run wild. Hey, that's a good reason not to have vision. Just to let your hair down. Woohoo! I mean, it's been COVID for how many years now? 18. People are just hanging out to run wild. I mean, Victoria, they had their anti-lockdown protest where half of them got sprayed with capsicum spray. That's a wonderful way to just celebrate being alive, isn't it? Pepper spray. I actually haven't had pepper sprayed, but not something I'm looking forward to. So, vision. We all need vision. But I guess vision has to be grounded in something. For example, there's no point that the Vision Uniting Church should have the Vines Uniting Church should have the vision that we turn this place into a casino. It's not really connected with anything, is it? So our visions then need to be grounded in something. So what guides our purpose? What guides our inference? So vision animates, inspires, transforms purpose into action. So I think sometimes it's purpose that shapes vision, not vision that shapes purpose. And the next slide we have is I've retweaked our little iceberg. So we've got our vision at the top, but that emerges through the values and beliefs. Purpose. And it's an important thing to be able to remember. What guides purpose? Vision emerges through that relationship. And as Christians, we're grounded in our connection with Christ. So whatever visions we come up with have to have that as its starting point, have to have that relationship connection. So it's really nice, and we love talking about vision, but vision emerges through God's direction, God's relationship with us. Now, that's really not rocket science, is it? Most of us would, if questions on that, would come up with the same answer. We need our purpose, and our purpose is the thing that gets us out of bed. The next overhead is a further translation. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. So this is from the NIV. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he or she who keeps the law. So the vision in this verse comes from God. It's a divine connection. It's a communication. It's a something that comes from God because of our relationship with God. A lack of vision then maybe reflects the fact that we're not tuned in or connected as solidly as we could be. You know, a couple of months ago we did the series on growing our spiritual faith, didn't we? And one of the primary aspects of that was that reading scripture was a key determinator in how a person's faith was growing. But like statistics, qualitative, quantitative, you never get the full picture. So most statistics, you know, they fill out a survey and you come up with the answer. But you never understand the underlying stuff that brought them to their answer. So qualitative I like, because qualitative is about the story that gets you to the answer. So if I was to say scripture for me is really important, wow, you've got no understanding about how I got to that point. The time the Bible comes most alive for me is when I'm most struggling, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm just wondering what is going on, where am I going, when emotionally I'm stirred, physically drained, whatever it might be. Scripture suddenly then has more. It's like I come to Scripture empty-handed rather than my own agenda. And isn't that how people read the Bible often, with their own agenda, looking for the answer to their problem rather than coming with nothing in their hands and just hoping God will fill them? We come to God with empty hands. That's how we discover stuff. But, you know, I think the tension we have in life is often we want our lives to be like this next picture. So this is often people's ideal picture for life. Their ideal plan is smooth sailing. Now, if you're smooth sailing on the ocean and you've only got a sail, man, you are becalmed. You're going nowhere. So smooth sailing necessarily is not all that it's cracked up to be. I mean, imagine if you were to go to the movies and you were to watch a movie based on this person's life. Sit down, watch some, eat breakfast, get up, go to work, have some lunch, come home, have some dinner, go to bed, start again. That is the definition of life people aspire to. Now, having been in COVID lockdown, most of us have had a bit of that. And how many of you put your hands up and thought that was the most exciting thing you've ever done in your life? Apart from Sharon. Look, life is utterly boring if that's all we're looking for. And imagine if the sort of sermon I gave every week was exactly the same as the one before. Or if David sang and the musos sang exactly the same songs every week because we wanted you to have a knife. Moo. Oh, not my definition of fun. You know, for most of us, the next slide is really what our lives are like. That, people, is the reality of life. That's the reality of your life, of most of the books we read, most of the movies we see. You know, The programs on TV are based on this, not the previous slide. Why? Because this is the stuff of life where the Bible suddenly comes alive, or life comes alive, or we discover stuff about ourselves. There's nothing worse than starting at zero and getting to 90 and not having changed at all. Man, what is that? What a waste. We learn stuff in this environment. Church sometimes is really hard, and that's where we learn. As a group of people, as individuals, that's where faith comes alive. That's why it's so important to keep that conversation going, even if we're angry, depressed, scared, anxious, or happy. Connection is vital. The reality of life, that's where things come to life. Vision is a glimpse of our future that God has purposed. Vision isn't about us, it's about God and God's purpose. That's why this next reading, it's a little bit out of sync almost, but I think it's at the heart of what we're really trying to explore in vision. And I love the words to this. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Abide in my love. So again, a bit like Dave's summary right at the beginning of today, vision is at its heart relationship with Christ. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. And that the abiding isn't a beautiful word. It's that connection, intimacy, like a plant growing together. Significant. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things so that you may be depressed and despairing and have a boring life. Oh, no, sorry, did I read that wrongly? I've said these things that you may have my joy in you and your joy may be complete. Abiding in the love of Christ. Our vision emerges out of that. Our beliefs are shaped by that. Our being, our visions, our values. That is our starting point. That is the foundation out of which everything we do grows. And so if vision is opening our lives to God and hearing from God, then our prayer life needs to continue to be connected and relevant and vital. And, you know, so when we're talking about visioning for the church, I mean, we want a vision that is relevant for 2021, 2022, not 1990. And so by focusing on our relationship with God, we're trying to be relevant and find out what God is wanting us to do now, today, next year. And the way we do that is we open ourselves to what God might be doing now. It's a bit like if your vision for life was to get married, and the only thing that was important was getting married. You know, 30 years later, if your whole vision for your marriage was to get married, I would have thought the 30 years of your marriage would have been pretty tough, because you've already achieved your vision 30 years before. Hey, I got married. That's it. Woohoo! But what about kids and family and drama and cars and houses and COVID. So the vision needs to be more, doesn't it? And a vision is not something that happens 30 years ago, but it's an ongoing thing because life changes. And it's a bit like this church. You know, if our vision was simply to move here from Happy Valley and that was still our vision, man, we've just wasted 25 years. Because God's vision is new every day, almost, you'd say. We're wanting to be relevant, connected to what's going on around us because things change all the time. And like that image of getting married, it's actually being married that is the vision. And so that's part of what we're trying to do as a collective group. So next week, we're going to start. We're going to put our foot a bit further into the water, toe into the water, whatever you want to call it, and start talking about what we might practically do as part of this vision God calls us to be and do in this community. So next week we'll talk a bit more and have some concrete examples. Now if you're hoping involves a mezzanine floor or knocking down the wall, I'm going to have to disappoint you. Although, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you strongly through the week, let me know. Again, it's like we're open. And a part of what we're trying to do is a bit like our strategy for online stuff. Build and grow as we go. Our vision's going to do the same thing. We're going to get out there and do some stuff, and we're going to grow it. Build and grow as we go. That's our vision. Let me share a short prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to do a little bit of thinking about what you connected with. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this small, strong congregation. We thank you that none of us have a monopoly on vision or a relationship with you. We ask that you'd continue to stir us to love and life and faith through Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would continue to speak to us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So just pause for a moment. What is one thing you're taking away from the songs, the words, the psalms, or whatever it is? So just a little quiet thinking. What is the one thing you're thinking about? And then I'll get the band to come up.
Our last song is kind of a visionary song in one sense. It's called Days of Elijah, which we've sung before, but it reflects on the visions of Elijah and Ezekiel. And if ever there were two people who had some kind of vision of God, those two certainly did. So let's stand together and sing.
Let's go.
great to see you all here today. Go in peace knowing that the love of God goes with you wherever you go. In the name of Jesus. Now, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet.